A clean conscience is the key to everything. It's the case for Lutheranism.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The absolute blessed forgiveness of sins gives me a clear conscience before God based upon Christ, not on me. Clear conscience over against the manifold cultural and ideological challenges that hit us from every side. So much of the difficulty that goes on today in the world, so much antagonism is driven by bad consciences trying to argue themselves into believing what their conscience knows is false. Join me in a great lineup of speakers for the Making the Case Conference this year in Chicago. I'll see you all there.
You can meet and hear President Matt Harrison making the case for the Lutheran option at this year's Making the Case Conference, June 16th and 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. It's a simple hymn that we usually associate with the Lord's Supper, and maybe that's why it's the hymn of the day for Maundy Thursday, that day being associated with the institution of the Lord's Supper. O Lord, we praise Thee. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to be studying that hymn with Dr. Ken Sherb. Ken has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's Director of Evangelism and Mission Stewardship and Human Care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, welcome back.
So good to talk to you, Todd.
When did the 16th century reformer Martin Luther write this hymn?
It was in the year 1524, and that is interesting in itself because this was right in the midst of the period, really, of Luther's greatest productivity in hymns. Luther, of course, was very concerned about especially the common people and learning the Christian faith and learning the gospel of justification by grace through faith in Christ. So Luther had been working in one way or another on various things concerning evangelical worship since his return from the Wartburg in 1522. Actually, already at the Wartburg, he had started and really very nearly finished his church postal for the first few Sundays of the church year. That was kind of sermon studies for pastors to help them in their preaching. Also, in 1522, he produced the first edition of his personal prayer book. The following year, 1523, brought his revision to the communion service, the Latin Mass, as we sometimes call it, of 1523. These were all made in an effort to bring the gospel to people through worship, and for worship to center in the good news of Christ. Now, producing a bunch of new hymns that would really call attention to Christ and Him crucified was one more dimension of this.
Did he write this hymn from scratch?
Well, no. In fact, Luther, we know, was already aware of what we today would call the hymn's first stanza, which is what he kind of got handed down to him. In fact, in 1533, about 10 years later, he was writing about the long-standing practice of withholding the cup from the laity in the Lord's Supper. And here's what he said in part. In the church, the faith has nonetheless remained firm and pure that in the sacrament Christ has instituted and commanded that all Christians should receive his body and blood. All this is proved by many hymns and poems, particularly by the congregational hymn, God be praised and blessed, who himself has nourished us with his flesh and blood. And later, Lord, by your holy body, which came from your mother Mary, and your holy blood, help us, Lord, in every need. Now, he's talking, of course, about our hymn here. He goes on, in this way, the church confessed its faith publicly that Christ has ordained and given to it both his body and his blood as food, and that it is entitled, according to Christ's command, to receive them, as it believes, confesses, and sincerely desires in this hymn. So yeah, Luther definitely knew about the hymn, and he could wax on about it, as we just heard. And we also know that he was aware of this hymn as early as 1523. Introducing his Latin Mass, he actually commented on it, suggested removing a couple of lines that he thought were spurious, and they probably were. Luther said that this hymn could be sung by the congregation after communion, and it was especially going to kind of tide them over as other vernacular hymns were being written. But this one was already available, ready to hand. He kind of filled it out, added a couple more stanzas. The hymn, by the way, seems to have been sung in the church during the Corpus Christi procession. Well, of course, Christ never said that his body and blood should be paraded about. He said that they should be eaten and drunk. So Luther was in the process of discontinuing the Corpus Christi procession in Wittenberg about the time he was working on this hymn.
What other hymns was he writing at the time?
Well, right about this time, he came up with his paraphrase of Psalm 67, "May God bestow on us his grace," the Christmas hymn, "We praise you, Jesus, at your birth," the Trinity hymn, "God the Father be our stay," the Ten Commandments hymn, "These are the holy Ten Commands," the Easter hymn, "Christ Jesus lay in death's strong bands," and the Pentecost hymn, "Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord." This one, of course, was going to be about the Lord's Supper.
So let's listen to the first stanza of "O Lord, We Praise Thee." O Lord, we praise Thee, bless Thee, and adore Thee, in thanksgiving bow before Thee. Thou with Thy body and Thy blood didst nourish our weak souls that they may flourish. O Lord, have mercy. May Thy body, Lord, born of Mary, that our sins and sorrows did carry, and Thy blood for us plead in all trial, fear, and need. O Lord, have mercy. Ken, what general observations would you make about this first stanza?
Well, not just about this one stanza, but really about the whole hymn. You guys did me a favor by forcing me to go back and look at the German text of the hymn, which in many ways is more direct and to the point than the version we have in English. Now, I don't want to be too flippant or too critical about this, because translating hymns is difficult. You not only got to match, in this case, the German original with the English accurate translation, but you've got to make the rhyme and the meter come out well. It really is an exacting process. It's not the kind of thing I've ever wanted to do myself. And I will say what we have in translation for this hymn, what you just heard sung there, is fine. However, we can still, I think, learn from the very pointed points that are made in the German text. And by the way, Todd, another feature of the German is the alternating statements. You have a statement or an exclamation on one hand, and then a prayer addressed to God. So, for example, right at the beginning of this hymn, "God be praised who has fed us with his flesh and blood," and then directly speaking to God, "Give us this, Lord, to the good."
What else did you see in the German text on that first stanza?
Well, in this stanza, Luther really does not shy away from fully expressing the mystery of the incarnation. Remember what Paul wrote to Timothy, "Great is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh." And of course, we cannot but think of the words of St. John, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And that's really important here. The word flesh comes up. It's not only the flesh of Christ, but of course the extraordinary nature of the sacrament of the altar. So Luther writes in the German, God, not even the word Lord, God be praised, who has fed us with his flesh. Doesn't say his body there, his flesh and his blood. I think of Paul saying to the pastors from Ephesus in Acts 20, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, that you might shepherd the church of God, which he has obtained, which he has acquired with his own blood. So it's very vivid. And this is the blood of God. Of course, God does not have blood in himself, but in the person of Jesus Christ, the man who is also God, yes, God has blood. And then later in the stanza, it says, the body that came from Mary. But the word is not the typical German word for body. It's not the common garden variety word. It's really the word specifically for a dead body, for a corpse. We're talking here about the body that was sacrificed. And that body is said not just to plead for us, as we have in the English translation, but that body itself is to help us out of all need. And that's, of course, what happens when Christ gives us his body to eat and his blood to drink in the Lord's Supper. That body helps us out of every need.
Are all of the words of the original hymn in German?
No, actually, there is a Greek word, actually a mashing together of two Greek words that come up frequently in the hymn, twice in each stanza. You have the expression Kyrie eleison, which is Greek for Lord, have mercy. And putting Greek in there, even when Luther is trying to write hymns for the common people to sing in their language, maintains a connection with the ancient church. And he wanted to do that. Putting that Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy, in frequently gives the hymn a kind of a plaintive tone and an application to the present, because we're praying for the Lord's help right now, for God to behold us in our mercy, in our misery, rather, and to have mercy upon us.
Dr. Ken Cherb is our guest. We are studying the hymn for Maundy Thursday, O Lord, We Praise Thee. We'll talk a little bit more about Luther's change of mind on the sacrament of the altar and this hymn next. When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
One of the greatest treasures in the Lutheran Church is the Lutheran Confessions, but it has not always been that way. From June 1st to the 3rd, Concordia University Chicago is hosting a seminar on the role of the confessional documents in the 19th century confessional revival. We invite you to come and learn about the recovery of the Lutheran confessions through lectures and workshops, along with opportunities for prayer and fellowship. For more information, please visit cuchicago.edu/confessionalismseminar.
Bethel Lutheran Church in Howard City, Michigan preaches Christ and Him crucified.
At Bethel, God's word of salvation is boldly proclaimed in all its truth, and the sacraments are rightly administered.
These means of grace help us peacefully navigate the craziness of this world. Bethel is centrally located between Grand Rapids and Big Rapids, just 2 miles east of US 131.
Our divine services are at 9:30 a.m. Join us this Sunday to receive God's marvelous gifts of grace.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Catalina Lutheran, Tucson, Arizona; Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri; Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana; Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin; Redeemer Lutheran, Chico, California; St. John Lutheran, Corcoran, Minnesota; St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa; Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri; and Zion Lutheran, Muskoka, Illinois. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. He is Director of Evangelism and Mission Stewardship and Human Care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We're studying the hymn of the day for Maundy Thursday, O Lord, We Praise Thee. Ken, this hymn is also a communion hymn. How had Luther grown as a reformer with respect to the sacrament of the altar?
Well, in Luther's early stages of growth on the subject of justification, he had been shaped profoundly by Augustine, which is not surprising. He was an Augustinian monk. And he had also been influenced by Augustine with respect to the Lord's Supper, too. Broadly speaking, in justification, Augustine said, well, we kind of have to take our lumps from God, our condemnation and punishment, so that with grace infused into us by God, we can move away from the love of this world and be pulled toward the love of God. Now, regarding the Lord's Supper, Luther had correspondingly learned from Augustine that it is, first of all, sharing with Jesus and with the saints in their sufferings and in their goods. Now, Luther by no means ever denied that the body of Christ was present in the Lord's Supper, but that was not his big focus right off. In his early reforming career, his big interest had been in Christ's mystical body, the church. In fact, in 1519, he had written a treatise on the Blessed Sacrament, but there he said little about the forgiveness of sins in the sacrament. His big encouragement to communicants there was to say, in effect, look, you are not alone in this. You are not fighting alone.
Yet that began to change noticeably for Luther in about 1520. How so?
Well, we see it in Luther's Babylonian captivity of the church in that year. It's a big change in direction. Not so much now is Luther emphasizing the outward flow of energy in the Lord's Supper, the outward flow of attention, at least, from the communicant to another communicant, but rather the attention downward, as it were, from the giving God to the receiving sinner. See, Luther was now spotlighting the Lord's Supper as the divine promise or testament of Christ. And he had been thinking about this biblical theme already in his classroom lectures on Galatians and Hebrews in the teens. So by 1520, he's ready to write a treatise on the Mass called A Treatise on the New Testament and to put this kind of mention in the Babylonian captivity. In the Babylonian captivity, he makes a lot of Christ's testament, his last will and testament. Now, a last will and testament means that somebody is going to die. So he writes, God made a testament. Therefore, it is necessary that he should die. But God could not die unless he became man. Thus, the incarnation and the death of Christ are both comprehended most concisely in this word, testament. So, if the Lord's Supper is Christ's testament, it cannot be our work. Therefore, in 1520, Luther started thinking more biblically, and certainly more in connection with the death of Christ, as he discussed the Lord's Supper.
Here is the second stanza. Thy holy body into death was given, life to win for us in heaven. No greater love than this to thee could bind us. May this feast thereof remind us. O Lord, have mercy. Lord, thy kindness did so constrain thee that thy blood should bless and sustain me. All our debt thou hast paid. Peace with God once more is made. O Lord, have mercy. Lutheran Public Radio Choir with stanza two of the hymn, O Lord, We Praise Thee. Ken, you said before that in 1520, Luther began emphasizing the death of Christ more as he dealt with the Lord's Supper. How do we see that here?
Well, right away in this second stanza, the death of Christ is mentioned. It says the holy body of Christ was given into death. And again, as in stanza one, the word here for body is really the German word for a corpse, for a dead body. The death, in other words, is an accomplished fact. The sacrifice has been made. And biblically, that's how you kind of demarcate a sacrifice. You talk about body and blood separate from one another, because that's what used to happen in the sacrificial system. The blood was drained out, and something else was done with the body. And of course, in the book of Revelation, even in glory, even in heaven, Christ is magnified and praised as the Lamb who once was slain. He's no longer slain. He is alive and well. He's victorious. He is exalted. But he once was slain. And that great fact fills all of heaven and earth. Now, in the Lord's Supper, the point is not that the sacrifice is being repeated. That was something that Luther was fighting against in his day, and we still in many ways have to fight against that idea too. It's not that the sacrifice is being repeated, but rather that the sacrifice made once and for all is now being offered to us so that we receive the benefits of this sacrifice.
How do we receive those benefits?
Well, the benefit comes, among other ways, as that body of blood once given for us and that blood once shed for us on the cross comes to us now in the Lord's Supper. We live through this body that died. That's what the hymn says. We live through it. Now, of course, that's paradoxical, that we live through a body that is dead, through a corpse. And yet it's true. I mean, we can scarcely drink this all in, and yet it's part and parcel of the good news. Really, what you have here is an echo of what Luther elsewhere called the great exchange. Christ dies our death to give us his life. He takes all of our sin. He gives us all of his benefits. And this is really underlined in the German text of the hymn. It's not just that Christ's body was given into death on the cross to win life for us, true as that is, but rather the German makes the point that we live through this body that was given into death, and we live through it when we eat it in the Lord's Supper. And then the hymn goes on to say that Christ can give us no greater good than that body of his, and receiving the body, we think of him. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Now that means more than just reminiscing. This is not forgetting in unbelief. but rather remembering in faith and proclaiming him. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, wrote St. Paul, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The very act of receiving the Lord's Supper is a proclamation. And of course, it is surrounded in the service by proclamation.
Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. The hymn of the day for Maundy Thursday, O Lord, We Praise Thee, is our topic. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The Lutheran Witness magazine interprets the world from a Lutheran perspective. Future Lutheran Witness themes include church planting, ancient and modern heresies, apologetics, archaeology, biblical difficulties, and more. An annual digital and print subscription is less than $20. For more information, visit cph.org/witness or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. We'll talk a little bit more about what we can learn from the German wording of this stanza next. How are we supposed to navigate our desires, fears, and longing for purpose when our culture claims that we're just born a certain way and can't help it? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Disordered, Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free. It's written by Issues Etc. guest Pastor Christopher Eskett. Learn more about Disordered at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Disordered, Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What does the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ have to say about our political debates surrounding transgenderism? Well, in the April issue of the Lutheran Witness, the Reverend Andrew Packer takes up this very discussion, how our Lord's death and resurrection, in fact, has everything to say about the debate surrounding transgenderism. We also talk about the family and the church and how the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ informs our life in all three of these estates. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back. We're studying the Hymn of the Day for Maundy Thursday, O Lord, We Praise Thee, with Dr. Ken Sherb. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Ken, what else can we learn from the German wording of this particular stanza?
Well, the English mentions the Lord's kindness, but the German says it even more strongly. It says love. And now, in the second half of the stanza, Christ's blood, body was mentioned in the first half of the stanza, now Christ's blood is said to do great wonders for us. It paid our debt. Notice, it doesn't simply say that Christ paid our debt, but that his blood paid the debt. And you think, of course, of 1 Peter chapter 1, which is echoed in the small catechism in the explanation of the second article, that we were purchased and won not with gold or silver, but with the holy, precious blood of Christ and his innocent suffering and death. And the result of all that is that God now becomes friendly and gracious to us. That's what the blood of Christ does. That's how precious it is and why we are so thankful to have received it in the Lord's Supper.
Any other observations about stanza 2?
Well, one more. instead of the singular, you know, in the English it says that thy blood should bless and sustain me. Actually, in the German, it's plural. His blood and his love does great things for us. God has become gracious and friendly to us. See, Luther has not forgotten that there is a corporate dimension to the Lord's Supper. As he said in a sermon the previous year, before he wrote this hymn, 1523, we have been baked into one cake with Christ.
Stanza 3 of O Lord, We Praise Thee. May God bestow on us his grace and favor to please him with our behavior, and live as brethren here in love and union, nor repent this blessed communion. O Lord, have mercy. Let not thy good spirit forsake us. Grant that heavenly-minded he make us. Give thy church, Lord, to see days of peace and unity. O Lord, have mercy. Can this stanza, in this stanza, Luther turns to what elsewhere he would call the fruit of the sacrament? Tell us about that.
Well, Luther used that term in the 1523 sermon that we mentioned a little earlier. He said there, the Lord's Supper makes us brothers and fellow heirs with Christ, one cake with him, and also one cake with one another. Really, Todd, Luther is talking here about faith and love. He put that eventually into his German Mass in a post-communion prayer we still use that talks about sustaining us in faith toward God and fervent love toward one another. But already he was talking in those terms in his Treatise on Christian Freedom back in 1520, that the Christian lives in God by faith and in his neighbor by love. And here you see how this is happening in the Lord's Supper. In love, I serve my neighbor like Christ has served me. In a sense, Luther says, I become my neighbor's bread. And my neighbor strengthens me, prays for me, casts my burdens onto himself, and in effect swallows up my sin in his godliness as he bears my burdens. He becomes a little Christ to me. So we bear one another's sins and failings. And this, Luther says, is the fruit of the sacrament.
How does Luther talk about the fruit of the sacrament in stanza 3 then?
He says, may God bestow on us his grace and blessing to please him with our behavior. I really like that earlier translation that we had in English instead of what we have now, that we may follow Christ our Savior. Now, of course, we do want to follow Christ in any case. But the German says that we go on his ways. Notice ways, plural, not way, singular. Usually in the Bible, it's a good rule of thumb. If you're talking about way, you're talking about putting the Christian under the wing of God. It can certainly be an expression of law, but it's very often an expression of gospel, to walk in God's way. But to talk about ways, plural, is usually to talk about the various, well, ways in which we follow his footsteps. So receiving the Lord's Supper is going to result in action, going to result in works, works of love, where we have right love and brotherly faithfulness or constancy. And I add, there's nothing wrong with Christians talking about living in a God-pleasing way as a result of what he has done for us in Christ. It's exactly what Paul did in 1 Thessalonians 4. And one of the ways to live in such a God-pleasing way is to extend love and care to one another, and so never regret having received the body and blood of Christ in this meal.
How does this hymn conclude?
Two requests at the very end. One, that Christ's Holy Spirit give us to see things in proper proportion, which is more than simply being heavenly minded, as the English says, but it includes that. I mean, also it includes that we would see Christ's body and blood here in this world for the surpassing treasure that he gives, and everything else is placed in proper perspective in our lives by that. And at the very end, that the Lord's poor Christendom, as Luther says, live in peace and unity, or, in effect, as one cake with Christ and with each other.
Let's listen to the whole hymn, O Lord, We Praise Thee. Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the hymn of the day for Maundy Thursday, O Lord, We Praise Thee. Ken, your final thoughts on this Lord's Supper hymn?
As much as Luther was pastorally concerned that people come to the Lord's Supper, it's kind of ironic that this hymn, which I and many others think is his greatest one on the Lord's Supper, is not cast as an invitation beforehand for people to come, but rather as a reflection back over the shoulder after people have received. And looking at all of what you have received, who would not want to be there the next time when the meal is continued?
Dr. Ken Sherb has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll study the Holy Week hymn Upon the Cross Extended with Pastor David Peterson, and we'll discuss apparent contradictions in the events of Holy Week with Dr. Peter Scare. I'm Todd Wilkin. Go receive all those benefits of the Lord's Supper during Holy Week. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, is looking for an English teacher with a master's degree for the 2023-24 school year. Edwardsville is 30 minutes from downtown St. Louis. The position would involve teaching upper-level, dual-credit English classes. For more information, send an email to Principal Jay Krause, J-A-Y-K-R-A-U-S-E, at melhs.org, jkrause@melhs.org.